We've been speaking, it seems like this has taken me forever to get through this series because we've had a lot of other things to fit in and around it. So this is our last part of our series. We titled this Priorities Plus Principles Determine Purpose and Equals Power. And it was keys to knowing God's will for your life. And a few weeks ago, we spoke on God's sovereign will. And we're going to kind of recap a little bit of this to pull this all together tonight. Jesus made prayer a priority. We read that in Luke 4:42. He focused on his purpose. He was here and his purpose was preaching. And we read that in Luke 4, chapter 4, verses 43 and 44. But he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. His purpose in coming here to this earth was to preach the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. He says that this is what I must do. It's not something that he simply wanted to do. It wasn't something that he specifically maybe felt good at doing. It's not one good thing to do among several, but is the one thing that he said, I must absolutely do. This is why I have been sent here. And Jesus understood that in order for him to complete this earthly mission, that he had to focus on what he was here to do. We had a series earlier this year on focusing. You can go back on our website and you can look that up. If you're having issues with your life right now, focusing, sometimes it's easy to stay focused for a few weeks, and then we have a tendency to get out of focus. So go back and listen to that series, and he had focus, and he separated himself from the distractions that were all around him. We deal with distractions in our lives every day. We have distractions in our homes. We have distractions at work. We have distractions while we're driving down the road. But Jesus also, he understood that prayer was a priority. Prayer had to be a priority. And we need to make prayer a priority in our lives. And we'll get into that in a little bit later tonight. And also passion. Passion is something that passion is what helps fuel your purpose. I tell people that passion is if you have a purpose in life, it's the passion that keeps you going into the wee hours of the morning on whatever you're working on. I love model railroading. Some of you, most of you know that. And I am amazed sometimes on Sunday nights when I go home after I am finished preaching and have something to eat. My wife goes to bed and it's 1:30, it's 2, and then it's 2:30, then it's 3, and then it's 3:30 in the morning and I'm looking at the clock. What is keeping me going? It's not that I have a strong purpose in my model railroad. It's just I have a lot of passion for what I'm doing on it that particular night. We all have been there. We can stay up all night long fishing. We can stay up all night long playing Axis and Allies. Some of you gamers out there, you've been here all night long at the church playing games because you have a passion for what you're doing, and that passion is pushing and fueling your purpose. And we must follow Jesus Christ as our ultimate example. There are three ways in which we must understand the will of God. And we went into this reading. Our scripture was from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46, 8 through 11 says, remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. This is God talking to Isaiah and explaining to Isaiah his sovereignty. We serve a sovereign God, and he's saying, listen, Isaiah, you can search the world over. You can look everywhere, all of the gods around you, all of the nations around you, and their gods that they serve and they worship, there is no God like me. I am like none other. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet come. And God says, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. calling a bird of prey from the west, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. So here we have God telling the prophet Isaiah just who he is and what it means to be the one and only God. He tells him what's at his heart of his godness. So in verse 10, he says, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet come. Here God is making a statement. He declares the end from the beginning, meaning that I declare how things turn out long before they happen. When we look in the Old Testament, we find a man named Job, and Job kind of developed a little bit of an attitude with God, and God had to remind Job exactly who he was and who Job was. God was telling Job that, listen, I understand where you are. All that has happened to you has happened to you because I have ordained what has happened to you. I have allowed this to come into your life. This period of torment that you're going through, you've got to understand, Job, that I am the author of that. So many times we get frustrated in our lives because we go through periods of turmoil and we think that it's the enemy that's trying to destroy us when it's God trying to test us. We have to discern the difference between the two. And God reminds Job that he is a creator of life. He created the game called life or life, the earth. He created the field. He created the ball. He created the bat. He created every player. He tells Job, listen, Job, you're a player in my game because all of this is mine. I created it all. And I am sovereign. Even the enemy that is bringing this affliction, I'm allowing the enemy to bring this affliction into your life. Understand, Job, I control him too. So when the enemy comes at us and tries to destroy us, we have to understand that our sovereign God controls. Satan's on a leash. I don't know if you knew that or not. He's on a leash. And God's saying, listen, you're doing my will. You're doing what I'm allowing to happen. So we have to understand that he knows the beginning, he knows the end, he knows everything in between. Secondly, I declare not just natural events, but human events. Things that have not yet come. In verse 10, he declares, I declare from ancient times things not yet done. And he goes on to say that my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all of my purpose. And when God declares the end long before it begins, what he is saying there is, my counsel shall stand. That's what he's saying. When God declares things not yet done, long before they are done, God is saying, I will accomplish all my purpose. This is important that we understand and realize this, because this is going to flow into our lives in a much closer and a much more intimate setting, which means God knows the God, which means that the reason God knows the future is because he plans the future, and what he plans, he accomplishes. So there is a plan for your life. There is a plan for my life. And what God plans, God will accomplish. So God has a moral code. We talked about that. We talked about this is God's sovereign will, and then also we have God's moral will. You see, we have to understand who God is. God doesn't change. And God has a moral will in which we must live by. And if we're going to find out God's particular will for our lives, we have to understand his sovereignty, and we have to understand that God has a moral code that he expects mankind to live by. Understand that some things are right and some things are wrong. It doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what laws are passed. It doesn't matter what bills come out of Congress. and are signed out of the Senate and are signed on the president's desk, if that bill is an immoral, unmoral bill and it goes against the word of God, God's word doesn't have to change to accept whatever the president signs into law. God's moral will, God's moral code of ethics and conduct is eternity. It doesn't change because we're in the 21st century and we feel that it's outdated. It's archaic. God says, I don't care. It's what you're going to be judged by. So we have God's moral will. In our last lesson tonight, we're going to talk about God's particular will. Now understand that God has a will and he has a particular will for your life. And this is where so many times we just get all confused in our lives. And I'm hope tonight that in this lesson that I'm not bringing any more confusion into your life, that I'll be able to answer some questions that you may have. And reading from Acts 9:15, but the Lord said unto him, go, for this man is a deliberately chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. Here we find Saul was struck down on the road to Damascus. And God was instructing Ananias. You see, Saul was kind of a fearful individual. He wasn't well liked among the Christians, okay? He was feared among the Christians. And the Lord says, for this is a man that I deliberately have chosen to be an instrument of mine. And my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. You see, God had a particular will for Saul. And God changed Saul on that road to Damascus that day. And God has a particular will for every one of us here tonight. But we must understand that particular will is going to vary from person to person. It's going to vary from husband to wife. It's going to vary from children in your family. One child may be called to the missions field. Another child may be called into the ministry. And another child may be called into a totally different type of ministry other than maybe a pastor's wife. And maybe they're called into a children's ministry. So God has a particular will for all of us. And we have to understand that. So as we look at our lives, we should be able to see all three of these aspects of God. We should be able to see God's sovereign will that sets his love upon you and I. And it is his sovereign will that provided for us salvation for our souls. And it was his moral will. It's the Ten Commandments. And that is what helps us to refrain from sin and doing that which is evil in the sight of God. And then his particular will for our lives, and his particular will for my life was that I would become a preacher and or a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it took me a while to really understand all of this because I fought all of this for a very long time in my life. So tonight, what I'm going to try to do is the best that I can is to bring my experience and with some knowledge that I've accumulated over the years and try to bring this out into this lesson tonight. You see, even though you and I are such a small part of God's vast creation, when I look at all of God's creation, I look at a world of 7.5 billion people, and I'm such a small part of that. And our lives, sometimes we may look at our lives and we may say, you know, my life is so insignificant compared to everything else. But you see, God knows you and he knows you personally. And that's a part we have to really wrap our minds around. God knows exactly how many hairs is on Mark Nikielski's head. He knows how many hairs is on my head, and he's been deducting them every day for some time because it's getting thinner and thinner. He knows how many gray hairs I have versus how many original black hairs that I had. And the number is growing in gray, and it's depleting in black color. You see, before we were even born into this world, God knew that we would be here tonight hearing this message. He designed a particular plan for your life and for my life, and he has promised to reveal that plan to us and to guide us into it. But before we get to know his will, first I want to address some things that really are kind of, we hear them a lot, but really they're really myths, or they're not really true when it comes to discerning and finding out God's will for us. And I've heard it said many, many times that don't worry about finding God's will for your life, because God will give you a roadmap. How many of you have ever heard that? How many of you have said that? Well, don't worry about it. God will give you a roadmap. Listen, really, in reality, God doesn't give us roadmaps. We can't come down here tonight and lay out a piece of paper and a pencil, and we start to pray, and God starts to just lead our hands over that paper and show us exactly everywhere that we're going to go in our life. God doesn't give us a roadmap, but what he does give us, and this is key to us finding his will and understanding his purpose, is he gives us relationship. You see, you have to have a relationship with God if you're going to follow him and if he is going to reveal himself to you. It's all about relationship. It's not about roadmap. And I think a perfect example of this is we read in Exodus 13:21 about the pillar of fire and the cloud that Israel followed around. This was not a roadmap for them. It was there. Sometimes it stayed in one spot for just one day, and other times it stayed in one spot for 2 and 3 years. It was not a roadmap for Israel. They only knew as far as the fire and the cloud moved. They didn't know anything beyond that. In order for them to totally grasp this, God was trying to build a relationship with Israel. So it moved, they moved. Have you ever run into folks that say, well, you know, life sometimes can be boring, and sometimes people can be boring to be around, and they feel that if you live for God, that you have to be sober and vigilant all the time. You see, another myth that we have here is that sometimes we feel that if we're going to take and find God's will in our lives, that everything has to be sober and we have to be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we think, and this is something that I struggled with, because I didn't think that if I was going to be a pastor and I was going to be a minister, that I couldn't have any fun in life anymore. How many of you have ever run into a Christian that just, they're not happy about anything? It seems like they're always unhappy. And we used to sing this song, we're a happy people. Yes, we are. All day long we sing this song. Jesus rights our every wrong. We're a happy people. Yes, we are. And they just sit there and they look like grumpy all the time. You see, God doesn't want us to have any fun. And we're afraid sometimes that if we surrender to his will, that he's going to take all the fun out of our life. You see, I've been around this most of my life, my whole life, actually 54 years. In the earlier years, I don't remember a whole lot. But as I grew up around a lot of pastors and ministers and evangelists and missionaries. And Man, there were some of those pastors out there that they never seemed to smile or laugh. And that playing softball was like, how can you play softball? How can you go golfing and how can you go fishing when there's just people dying all over and going to hell? And you feel guilty going out on a golf outing because everyone on that golf course is a sinner, and they make you feel like you need to just start baptizing people in the water holes. And you don't enjoy it because they're not enjoying it because they have no joy in Jesus because they are called. And this is serious. You see, Jesus took time to go fishing. I think Jesus told jokes too. I think he pulled pranks. He had to have, because he was like us. He came to this earth. I mean, yes, he was serious. He was focused. He had passion. But I think there were times where he just sat down and he just laughed. Said, I can't believe, Peter, you let that one get away. You see, another myth is that God only speaks to those sober people. God only shows his will to the holy ones. Listen, that's such a big lie of the devil. You see, God's will, God's voice is not limited to those who are just in or have accepted a position. You see, God will speak to me just as much he will speak to Mark, just as much as he will speak to Noah, just as much as he will speak to Brother John or any of the ladies here. I could go down and just Sister Moran, you could go. Listen, God doesn't just speak to pastors. And we as an individual, we need to understand that if God's not speaking to us, maybe there's a reason why. And we got to figure that reason why out. So you see, God's voice is not just limited to those who are in a position. And God's will, God's voice is for everyone, whosoever will. And God has a will for every saint of God at every conceivable level of commitment. You don't have to be totally saying, you know, God, I know you've called me into the ministry or you've called me to preach. And this was the attitude I have. I'm not perfect enough yet, God, to do that. So I kept telling God no. Finally, God just thumped me on the head real big and bad and hard and sent me a very, very graphic message that you're never going to be perfect. Just do what I've asked you to do. I'm from Texas, and I guess the Grants are stubborn and the Smiths are stubborn, and I got a combination of both. Before you laugh at me, you're all stubborn too. Okay? Every last one of us in here is stubborn in our own ways. Husbands, you'll say, my wife is the most stubborn woman. And the wives will say, my husband is the most stubborn woman. And you will both agree. I just blew that. You know what I'm saying. Get up here sometime and try this. And you both agree, husband and wife, that your kids are the most stubborn. Because they take after each other. But you listen. God calls us where we are, not from where we're going. Understand that. I've heard people over the years tell us so many wonderful stories of God's calling and testimonies, and sometimes we think that in order for God to call us into ministry, we have to have this on the road to Damascus experience where that God strikes us out of our Toyota as we're driving down the Beltline and a big bright light comes down and we're laying out there in the middle of four lanes of traffic and an audible voice from God says, pray today! And we think that has to happen to us because that happened to a friend of mine. And if it doesn't happen to me, then I don't have God's calling on my life. Listen, you don't have to have a dramatic testimony. Sometimes God's calling is just a normal experience that we may experience as we simply are praying, sitting in a deer stand during deer season. A tree stand during deer season. Sometimes God can call us while we're sitting out on the front porch with a glass of lemonade and we're meditating on His Word and God begins to speak to us and call us. It doesn't have to be a flash of lightning. So don't expect it. If God doesn't call you that way, it doesn't mean it's any less of a calling. I believe that if Saul would have refused God's calling, that lightning bolt would have killed him dead. But God knew. You see, God spoke to Saul in the lightning. And it was an audible voice from heaven. But when we read in 1 Kings 19:11 out of the Amplified, and he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by, and great and powerful wind was tearing out the mountains and breaking the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of gentle blowing. And it was in that gentle blowing was a still, small voice. And it was God speaking." So don't look for the earthquake. Don't look for the bolt of lightning. Don't look for the flash of thunder and the fire. Listen for that still, small voice, because it's God speaking in the gentle breeze. Also, sometimes we think that we're too old. I struggled with this, Brother Hawk, in my 30s. I thought, well, Lord, there's still time. You preach, you know, you were on this earth, you were ministry. You didn't start your ministry till 30, so if I don't start till 30, and then it was 35, and then you get older, and we begin to think that maybe God only reveals His will to the young. Listen, God calls people of all ages. Moses went into God's service at 80 years of age. I believe Noah was some 120 years old when God called him to build the ark. God calls people of all ages. And understand one thing. Age, just because you age out, doesn't mean God doesn't have a calling on your life. You see, it doesn't matter how old you are, because I believe if God was finished with you, He'd call you home. That's why He calls us home, because He's finished with us. We've finished what He started in our lives, and He says it's time to call you home. If He would have called you home, but if you're still sitting on the sidelines seeking His will, it's never too late. It's never too late to do the will of God. Another myth is God's will is hidden from us and we have to find it ourselves. This is really almost borderlining in absurdity. Because God doesn't hide His will from us. He wants us to know His will. He wants us to know His will, and this is not some big, giant, intergalactic game of hide-and-seek that God plays with us and says, I'm going to just mess around with Rich Thomas, I'm going to hide on him, and I'm going to make him search and search and search and search to find my will for him. That's not how God works. God desires to reveal His will to us. And so many times we struggle with that. And one of the number one reasons that we struggle for that is because we have a problem with obedience. We have a problem with obedience. You see, too often we make our plans. It's our plan. And we set them in motion. Hear me now. This happens so many times. We're doing God's work. We may not be doing his will, but we're doing his work. So we say, God, I'm doing your work. I have this plan. I'm going to set it in motion, and God, you bless it. And God looks down and he says, nope, it's not my will. I can't bless something. And we want God to bless something in our life that is not his will for our life. So thus, we run into problems. You see, we pray here, God, this is what I want to do. Now, Lord, you got to make it work. This is who I want to marry, Lord. You make them love me. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. And we got to understand that. Can we honestly say, wherever you lead me, God, I will go? Can we honestly say that in our lives? Think about this. Why should God reveal his will to you? Why should he reveal his will to me if he knows that we have no, or I have no intention of doing it anyway? Think about that. Maybe that's why you're having a hard time finding God's will in your life. Another thing that we struggle with is sometimes we just have a hard time being taught by God. We have to be teachable. We have to be teachable. Psalms 25:9, the Amplified says, he leads the humble in justice and he teaches the humble his way. You see, if we're not teachable and we think we know it all already, then you're probably never going to find out what God's will and purpose is for your life. We need to be open with God. You see, we need to be open with God. We need to be sincere with God. So many times we try to play these games with God. I played games with God for 13 years, and God wasn't playing games. And we think that we're so suave and debonair that God is, we're just going to pull the wool over on God's eyes. Listen, how stupid can we be? He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything about us. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. You cannot pull the wool over on God's eyes. It just doesn't happen. So we got to pray. We got to pray for God's guidance. We got to be honest with God. If you got a problem, be honest with him. Say, God, I got this problem. You got to help me with this. We got to be honest with God. We got to report for duty when God calls us. We can't wait to get drafted. This isn't a draft situation here. We're voluntarily doing this. We got to show up. We got to show up, and when God has an assignment or something for us to do, we got to show up to do it. No matter how big or how small. You see, if God isn't showing you anything, perhaps you should examine your life to see just how much time you're really spending with God in private. You see, too often he's speaking to us, but we're not listening. You see, we have to listen. We read the scripture about the small, still voice of God. And this is one thing that I have found out about God. And this is a very crucial key when you're trying to hear God's voice. Okay, and follow me through on this logic line, okay? Because this is something that I had to learn. I learned this, and it was a great lesson to learn. You see, as we mature in God, the way he converses with us changes. Now think about this. You got a little infant child. You're conversing with that little baby. You're talking goo goo gaga, you know, all kinds of gibberish talking to that little baby, and the little baby's blowing bubbles. You know, and you just think it's so cute. You don't talk to that child that way when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 years old. As they mature, your conversation with them matures as well. That's how they learn mature talk. So when we look at this, as we mature in God, his way of conversing with us changes. And when we're new to this, And we need to understand, if you're new in God and you're just starting to figure some of this stuff out, God will speak to us through our noise. God will speak to us when everything around us sometimes is noisy and loud. God will speak to us because we haven't learned yet the whole process. So God will speak to us. And as we grow in God, His voice in our lives begin to change. And this is very crucial for us as we continually pursue His will in our lives. We change, we mature, He speaks to us in a more mature manner. It's like in kindergarten. When you're in kindergarten, you learn about frogs. You learn that they like lily pads, they got a long tongue, they eat flies and mosquitoes, and they live in the water. That's about what you learn in kindergarten. You color the frog on the lily pad, and that's it. You come on to fifth grade, you learn a little bit more. Junior high, even more. Senior high, you got that frog laid out on a lab table, and you're dissecting that frog, and you're learning all about the heart, the brain, all this and that of the frog. What has happened here? You see, as we grow, our perspective or our knowledge of frogs grow. And as we grow in God, our knowledge and our perspective of God grows. Thus, God speaks to us in a different manner. The more we pray, and this is important, the more we pray, the more He reveals Himself to us. If the only time we ever pray is when we need a selfish prayer, like, God, I need a new car. God, I need groceries. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need my husband to change. God, I need my wife to change. God, I need, you know, we have these me prayers. You know what? You're never going to grow in God if you just pray me selfish prayers. You need to get to know God. There's nothing wrong with asking God questions. I've asked God a lot of questions. I've sat downstairs in my basement, and I pulled a chair up and said, Lord, would you just sit here for a minute? I got some questions I need to ask you. It may sound silly to you. You may think I'm totally off my rocker, but you can't not believe when I've asked God questions, then I sit down and I be quiet. And I listen. And I meditate, and my mind begins to think, and things begin to come into my mind, and God begins to speak in that nice, quiet, soft wind. You see, God's not speaking through all the noise that He had to speak through earlier in my life. He's speaking in the quiet moment in the evening. We must yield ourselves to God. You see, as soon as Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, everything he was doing, he stopped. Right then, he dropped everything. He didn't finish his mission. He didn't finish his assignment. Exactly what God told him to do, he did it. And he got busy doing exactly what God told him to do. And so many times, God will tell us to do something, then we go into our excuse mode. But God, I'm not qualified for that. God doesn't care if you're qualified. If God called you to do something, He didn't call you to fail at it. God didn't call me to be a pastor so I could get up here and just make a fool out of myself and fail. Although sometimes I do. But that's not what God called me. God doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want you to be a failure. He wants you to be a success. So we got to yield ourselves to God. We need to get busy and pursue what God has called us to do. And again, God will probably not reveal His will to someone who isn't going to do it anyway. So if God calls you to do something and you don't do what He calls you to do, don't expect Him to keep calling you to do things until you do what He's already asked you to do. Did we get that? In all areas of our lives, we need to yield and be open to His will. And then we can expect that God will begin to reveal himself to us. God wants all of us. He doesn't just want a parts of us that we're willing to give up. He wants everything. As we begin to find that will and that purpose, remember that we serve a practical God. God is a practical God, and his guidance is going to be practical. I've heard, listen to people, and they begin to explain to me what God is calling them to do, and there's so many details, and there's so many moving parts in it. I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this is complicated. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Only engineers make it that complicated. If you're an engineer here tonight, I love you. We serve a practical God. When we look into the Bible, we see how God reveals himself through many ways. Sometimes he'll reveal himself to us through miracles. Sometimes he reveals himself through other people. God often speaks to us through sermons. God has spoken to me many times through messages that I have heard. When I've been struggling with the will of God in my life, God has spoken to me through various messages. He'll speak through his Spirit. John 14:16 says he will guide us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. And God will speak to us through the Holy Ghost that is in us, within us. He will speak to us through the Holy Ghost. And we need to beware of listening to the voices that we listen to. Because sometimes there's a lot of voices that will try to speak into our lives. And we need to understand, and we must be able to understand and hear God's distinctive voice. He also speaks to us through his word. Psalms 119:89 says, "Oh, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." When you're in doubt concerning God's will, go back to the Bible, go back to the word, and begin to read. And understand something. All of these voices sometimes that try to speak into our lives, if they contradict what God says in his word, it's not from God. It's not from God. So many times we like to hear that because people will speak some really fantastic things into our lives at times, but it's not always a God thing. You got to go back. And if it's something that you're praying on and you're praying about, and somebody speaks, so let's just say I'm praying that, you know, but my brother Brian here, he needs a new car and he needs it really bad, and God's been dealing with me about helping him get a new car, and I've been praying about it, and I didn't know exactly how to approach brother Brian, and brother Mark comes up to me and says, "You know what? I was praying tonight and God just really spoke to me that, you know, you just need to let go and don't be afraid that God's going to bless what you want to do, and he's going to speak into my life, and he's going to confirm that I'm supposed to give Brian some money to buy a new car." That's how God will work sometimes. He'll work that way. I had a situation in my life that a brother came up to me and he said, I don't know what I'm saying to you because it doesn't make sense to me. But God says to just do it. Just go for it. You see, he had no idea what it meant and he was reluctant to tell me. But when he told me, it confirmed something that I was making a major decision in my life. And he was the third person to confirm. And I asked God for 3 confirmations. It didn't make any sense to him, but it made sense to me. So if you're struggling with something and somebody comes up, it needs to align up with something that you're already dealing with and praying about. You see, we need to take and stay in his word. We need to listen for his voice. We need to understand the scripture, praying and meditating. God's will, how we apply the biblical truths in everyday situation. We got to understand one thing here too about God's will. And understanding God's will. And when we read the Bible, you know, I can read the Bible and the Bible's not going to tell me what kind of house to buy. It's not going to tell me who I should marry. It's not going to tell me what kind of cell phone plan that I need to buy. And I'm not going to be able to go into the Word of God and find out what I should order at Culver's after church. Okay? It doesn't work that way. It's not going to tell you which person to marry, which car to drive, or all the other thousands of choices we make. But what is necessary is that we have a renewed mind that is so shaped and so governed by the revealed will of God for our lives and how God reveals his will for our lives through prayer and through the scriptures. And when we see all of this, all of these relevant factors come into play. We need to give ourselves to this. We need to immerse ourselves in the written word of God and saturate our minds in it and pray that God would make us so new that the spillover in our lives, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that's what God is calling us into. We need to be faithful where we are. And I know sometimes we struggle with this. Sometimes we think, you know what, God, I'm destined for great things. I was at camp and somebody prophesied over me and said, I'm going to preach before millions. And I'm not going to preach behind the pulpit until there's a million people standing out there. Good luck with that. Good luck with it. You see, God called me to preach and I ran from that. But you know what? You know where God wanted me to be faithful in? The nursery classroom. That's where I started, working with my wife and the 2 and 3 year olds. And then God moved me to the junior high classroom and then to the youth and then into student ministries. But I tried to be as faithful as I could wherever I was at. And that's how God works in our lives. And I had no idea as I was going through all of this that I would end up where I was today. But I tried to be faithful. You see, God will not give you greater opportunities or responsibilities if you're not faithful where he's already entrusted you in the smaller areas of your life. It's not going to happen. Matthew 25:21 says, and the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You see, we need to serve him cheerfully. We need to serve him gratefully. We need to serve him faithfully. And wherever you are right now, no matter what your lot in life may be from right now, listen, God will not tell you to do something that is against his righteous character. He's not going to tell you something to do something that's contrary to his word. His word is powerful. It brings instruction into our lives. It brings training. It's there to equip us thoroughly for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You see, sometimes we try to make decisions without consulting God or his word. And that's like trying to find your way at times through a dark cave with no flashlight. Another thing that we struggle with, and that is waiting. How many of you hate to wait? I don't like to wait. I hate waiting. Waiting's not always easy. And this is one thing that God has tried me on time and time again, and I've learned to be patient. Sometimes I say, God, I need an answer and I need it right now. And you know how we can get sometimes. Waiting on God before you act or decide to do something allows you time to think. It allows you time to pray. And most importantly, it allows you time to listen. Oftentimes we like God to show us, God, would you please show me clearly what to do and when to do it? I want to get it done. I want to do it now. God, you called me to preach. I want to do it now. Give me a church. Give me some people. And God's saying, how about talking to your neighbor? Oh, God, I'm above that. I'm beyond that. You call me to preach. How about your neighbor? God's going to wait. God's got eternity. We got 70 years, maybe. It doesn't hurt God to wait another day. So we need to wait on God. Sometimes I've learned this, that I've discovered that God sometimes delays his clear-cut answers in order to cultivate a trust in him so that we don't do everything on our own accord and our own wisdom. Because we like to do that sometimes. We like to say, well, God spoke to me. Did God really speak to you? God told me. You see, waiting is not my favorite thing to do. Yet I've learned to trust him. I've learned that the hard way. And I'm not always, it's not always a matter of waiting on him. Sometimes God is waiting on us. This is more off the case. We say, God, come on, I'm ready. And God says, well, wait a minute. You didn't finish the last thing I asked you to do. And sometimes God waits on us. We don't like to hear this, but sometimes God has to wait for our character to catch up with us. We did a series on character. You know, if God's going to use us, God's going to empower us, he's concerned about our character. Sometimes he has to wait for our character to catch up with his plan for our lives. And so many times we become impatient with God. I've seen young men and women so desire to get married that instead of waiting on God, man, they just rushed into marriage only to find out that, man, whew, it was a big mistake. You see, was God taken by surprise when we make mistakes in our lives sometimes? Sometimes when we look at God's will, we can look at and understand that it may not have been God's will for you to marry that person, but once you marry that person, you married into a covenant with God. It's not a covenant with the state of Wisconsin. It's not a covenant with Pastor Roy. You signed a marriage license. You're in a covenant with God. And God says, forever. This is a forever covenant. It's forever. It's till death do you part. And sometimes we look at this and we struggle with this because we say, well, you know, is this the will of God for me to marry this person? Well, it may not be what God desires. God gives us a power of choice. And a lot of people have a hard time with this sometimes. God gives us the power of choice. It may not be what God wanted, but once you did it, it becomes God's will for your life. So suck it up, buttercup, and learn to love each other. How's that one? Understand. Once you become married, it becomes God's will. And that becomes so important here because Abraham and Sarah were told by God that they were going to have a child. But they became impatient. They didn't obey God. They broke all of these different rules that we just talked about. So they came upon a solution on their own. They decided that, maybe Abraham, if you slept with Hagar, the Egyptian servant, that maybe that's what God was talking about. No, that's not God was talking about. But once that baby was born, listen, it was Abraham's son. And Israel today, the nation of Israel today, is having struggles because somebody 5,000-6,000 years ago decided to do God's own will for themselves or try to do their own will thinking it was God's will. So when we look at this, understand that when we make mistakes, we often worry sometimes that maybe we've fallen out of God's will. Remember our theme scripture on God's sovereignty, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. So we've probably heard people talk about, and I've heard this saying before, that, well, you know, they're missing out on God's perfect will. And this has always kind of stuck with me. So if you make a mistake in trying to find God's will for your life, if you make a mistake, are you permanently stuck with a plan B? How many of you have ever thought about that? I've thought about that. You know what? I really messed up, man. Am I permanently stuck with it? But we got to understand, if God's plans were dependent upon us, would be on like plan 10 to the 1,000th power. Okay? Understand that. So what kind of plan would that be? You see, sometimes we have a skewed understanding of God's will. And that's why we talked about God's sovereign will before we talked about God's moral will and now God's particular will. You see, this was our first lesson in the study. If you look in your Bible any page, you'll see that God performs perfectly and he accomplishes perfectly all that he desires, from the macro to the micro. This means that his plan A for you is right on track despite of our mistakes and our failures, because God knows the end from the beginning. God's sovereignty over us is what sets us free. God's will is for you. God's will for you is right where you're standing right now. Whether you're in the sunshine phase of your life and all is going well, or maybe you're in a storm full of regrets in your life. But God is sovereign over us, and his will is sovereign. And it's a hard fact about our mistakes, because God's his all-wise governing of all things for his glory and our good include our choices that we make, our actions and the consequences that flow from them. So when we make bad decisions at times, and we're going to make them, understand that. When we try to follow after God's will, and I'm wrapping this up so if our musicians can come, if we try to follow God's will in our lives, listen, we're going to make mistakes. So does that mean if I make a mistake that I can't fulfill God's will for my life? You see, sometimes we make bad decisions, but we have to understand also that we have to live with consequences of our decisions at times. And sometimes that's difficult. So we have to understand that God's plan for us is beyond this world, and his plan for us spans all the way into eternity. And if we trust God, he leads before us, he supports behind us, he's beside us, and he orders events around us. So if we belong to Jesus Christ, his fatherly, preordained, destined care will be the most constant theme in our lives. And as you stand tonight, our last point is a point of obedience. You know, sometimes all we need to do is simply keep doing what we know to do. Sometimes we look for all of those big glamorous moments, and God is just saying, just keep doing what you know to do. Keep loving me. Keep serving me. Keep reaching out for me. Keep reading my word. Keep praying. Stay faithful. Keep growing. And stop worrying about every little detail in your life. Obey. We just sometimes simply need to obey God with what he has already given to us. And if we obey what he's already given to us, then he will continue to lead us step by step, one day at a time. And if our heart's desire is to please and honor the Lord with all we do and all our decisions, will any decision really be a bad one? As we close out this series, you may still have some questions. And sometimes I still have questions. I'm not where I know God has got other things in my life. There's more to my life than what I'm doing. There's more to my calling than what I've experienced. I don't know what all of that is. So I still have questions. Sometimes I say, God, what about this? What about that? What if, God? Listen, we're always going to have questions. We're always going to have questions. But remember two things that we can count on about God and his will for our lives. Number one is he is God. And number two, we're not him. The bottom line is God keeps his promises. Absolutely. And we can trust a God who never changes, and we can trust a God who is forever faithful. So as we close out this series here tonight, I don't know where you are trying to discover your particular will for God. I hope this has been of a help to you tonight and not confusing to you. But I've just found out that sometimes all I need to do is just say yes to God every day. And God will continue to lead. He will continue to guide and continue to direct. So if you're kind of in that area of your life where you don't really know where God is calling you to go, maybe you don't understand all the details, and you're looking for just clarification, perhaps, I just want to encourage you tonight. Could we just start by coming down to this altar and just saying, Lord, here I am. I've made mistakes in my past, but Lord, can we move beyond some of that? Can you help me in my... Maybe you know where you're supposed to go, but you just don't have the strength or the courage. Maybe you're afraid. I know when I found out where I felt God was calling me, I was afraid. I didn't want to go there. I was afraid of what it may cost me. I was afraid that I wouldn't have as much fun as I thought I was going to have. You see, God desires to fulfill His will in our lives. But we have to allow Him to do that.
I surrender all to